The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
Hi, this is Attorney Ken Auerbach from the law offices of Cartier, Bernstein, Auerbach, and Steinberg. If you or someone you care for has been injured through no fault of their own, please contact my office by visiting www.myinjuryli.com. Be it auto-related accidents, construction, product liability, wrongful death, slip and fall, nursing home negligence, or medical malpractice, please contact us by visiting www.myinjuryli.com. For nearly three decades, our firm has successfully represented our clients. Through constant communication and support, our clients never feel left out of the loop. We care about their pain, their loss, and their dignity, and of course, their compensation. Please don't hesitate to contact our office to discuss your case by visiting www.myinjuryli.com or call 631-654-4900. That's www.myinjuryli.com or call 631-654-4900. Don't wait another day. Well, hi, everyone. This is personal injury attorney Ken Auerbach from Cartier, Bernstein, Auerbach, and Steinberg. Welcome back to our program from No Fault of Your Own. It is our goal to give you an insider's view of bringing and proceeding with various types of personal injury actions caused by the negligence of some other party. And among these areas, we will explore and have been exploring car accidents, trip and slip and falls, construction accidents, medical malpractice, dog bites, nursing home neglect, products liability, and many other circumstances of negligence and the serious injuries that often occur. Through our journey together, hopefully we can remove some of the mystery and uncertainty and help you feel both empowered, knowledgeable, and confident in the process. And as you know, we try to have some fun on the show too as we do explore these serious topics. Now, we are live today, so if you have a question, you can call the studio at 631-451-1039, and I would be privileged to answer your question about personal injury. Before we get started on the show today, I want to dedicate this program to my great friend, Ed Ettore Simeone. Ed had a five-year battle with pancreatic cancer, and he's come to it just about a week ago. Ed was my dear friend, really a brother from another mother, a great lawyer, fine lawyer. He was a prosecutor at one point, a great caring family court judge, a great husband of Suzanne and father of my nieces, and my niece Joanne, nephews Alfred, Michael, Mark, Matthew, Petey, and Jimmy. And really going to miss him, love him forever. So thank you for giving me that time to indulge you today. Well, handling a personal injury case properly and effectively really requires a great team effort between the law office and the client. Now, I have the good fortune today and really the blessing of having a great team in my office that includes two great personal injury attorneys who are my left arm, right arm, left hand, right hand. And today we're joined in the program by my two associates, Linda Boswell and Amanda Spinner. Welcome, ladies.
Hi.
Thank you for having us.
Well, we're glad to have you here. Now, Amanda and Linda assist me with all aspects of successful handling of serious personal injury cases resulting from another party's negligence. And I would tell you that to properly handle a personal injury case, it requires careful assessment and evaluation, oftentimes right from literally the first contact from a prospective client, also through the first consultation, which we do in the office at a home visit, or sometimes even when the client and their family member asks us to come to a hospital or medical facility. Now, each step of this process requires, among other things, patience, preparation, planning, persistence, and precision. These requirements apply to every type of case and every differently valued case. Just because a case may have less value does not mean you as the attorney don't have an equal obligation to put your best efforts into it and to do your absolute best to make sure that you can maximize a recovery on a case. Now, today we're going to take a few minutes to talk about the stages of representing a client properly and effectively in a personal injury case, some of the problems and challenges also. Now, we are fortunate also on the show later on today to have prominent brain and spine surgeon Dr. Magdi Shadi back with us, and it's amazing that we're able to get him back on the show. And Dr. Shadi really has been on the show just twice, I think, and really has enlightened us into many of the aspects of brain issues, brain trauma, brain injuries, and spinal injuries. So Linda and Amanda, let's get started. Thank you again for joining the program. And let's talk about the initial contact with clients who are injured from someone else's negligence. What it involves, some of the problems, and those things that are important to ensure a good start to the process to give the client the best opportunity for a great result in justice. So I'll start with you, Linda. Is how does the initial contact usually occur?
Often we get a telephone call, or even lately we've been getting a lot of internet calls.
And in that process, the calls come in to our office, and how do we manage those calls when they come in?
Well, we try to take a call immediately, because when someone's taking the time to call a lawyer, it's because they really do need help. And the one thing we like to do is have myself, Ken, and Amanda take those calls. So this way we can help relieve some of the stress people are under.
So the way we approach it is that we really want an attorney to get on the phone, not a paralegal, not a secretary. Is that correct, Amanda?
Absolutely. We like the client to immediately get on the phone with one of our attorneys, just to, you know, it's an emotional situation and it really comforts them to have an attorney on the phone.
Well, let me ask you, Amanda, who do we usually get the contact from? Like, who's calling in to ask us about whether there's a case or not?
So sometimes it's the client themselves, whether they were hurt in a car accident or had a medical malpractice case or something else. We also do get contacted often from family members, friends of an injured party, you know, many different types of people.
And I think the point was made that sometimes those contacts come. We get the phone call. We've also had it where we're actually contacted on the internet, and people can chat with us through the internet and discuss whether or not there's a viable claim. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, let's talk about some of the issues that we discuss. Linda, let's start with you. What kinds of issues do we discuss in those first contacts?
Well, often we want to know, one of the first things, what happened? And then we ask, you know, when did it happen? And then we get more information, because key to it is to kind of figure out what is the focus of our conversation going to be.
Okay. Now, Amanda, with regard to the kinds of cases we handle, I've said on the show before that we handle all kinds of cases. What kinds of cases do you get calls on while you're answering, obviously, the calls?
So a lot of times I particularly get calls on medical malpractice cases, but people call on all different types of cases. They call for all different types of personal injury actions, whether it's a car accident, a motorcycle accident, a slip and fall, a trip and fall, a construction accident. We really run the gambit.
And with regard to that, what kinds of issues are discussed, Amanda, when you do get that calls? And I understand, and I'm going to ask you a little bit more detail. I know with medical malpractice, it's different. But let's talk about non-medical malpractice. What kinds of issues get raised?
I mean, like Linda said, one of the most important things is when the actual accident occurred, because we have deadlines, as everyone knows. We have a statute of limitations, and that's a critical deadline, because if we can't establish from the onset when your accident happened, we may miss the opportunity, you know, to protect the statute for you.
Now, in these cases, depending on what they are, they have different requirements of proof. But with regard to every case, you have to prove what we call liability, right?
Yes.
And liability means whether or not the defendant failed to act reasonably under the circumstances. And if we are able to prove that, then we go on to the damages part, and we have to prove that the person has been damaged as a result of what occurred. And one of the things that we always have to do is we have to talk to the client and tell them the difference between liability and damages. Right, Linda?
Absolutely. Because even if you're in the most serious wreck, it's very important to be able to establish that someone's responsible for it. Because if there's no one responsible for it, or you're responsible for it, you know what I mean? So that's the question. Is there someone who we can point the blame to, so this way you can be fully compensated for your injuries?
So like in a car accident case, if I'm hit in the rear, clearly then the defendant is liable, negligent, right?
Absolutely.
But there are times when that person might have been hit in the rear, but again, they may not actually be injured, or they may not think they're injured to start, right? Sometimes we have cases where that person doesn't feel too bad right after the accident, but winds up being really hurt, right? We've had situations like that, Amanda?
Yes, absolutely. People oftentimes are in shock right when the incident occurs. So it can take a little while to develop symptoms, and it's important for people to recognize that.
Well, I think that's a really good point. A lot of times what will happen is the person will call us. They really don't know what the full extent is of their injuries, and it's a process they're going through. And what we're trying to do is trying to manage their situation the best for them. And if there is some type of serious injury that is a result of negligence, be able to get them fair and just compensation as we work through it. You know, it's really great to have you both on today because, you know, we all have slightly different perspectives, but pretty much as a team, I think we have the same perspective to fight for our clients, get them justice. So we will see you folks on the other side. Really happy to have these two fine attorneys and my right and left arm here today with us on From No Fault of Your Own.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ken.
Well, hi, welcome back. This is personal injury attorney Ken Auerbach. If you're just joining us now, you're listening to the program From No Fault of Your Own, where we're exploring the most important issues in personal injuries caused by accidents. We are live. If you'd like, call into the studio. We're glad to answer your question. The phone number here is 631-451-1039. If you or someone you care about has been injured as a direct result of someone's negligence, please contact us at myinjuryli.com. Call 631-654-4900. We'd be privileged to fight to get you justice and try to find out if you were hurt as a result of someone's negligence and if you are entitled to get fair and just compensation. We are here every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. as we explore these issues. So we're getting back to the conversations we were having with Amanda Spinner and Linda Boswell, my two fine associates, on what we do in the initial contact with the client on the phone. And there's several things that we have to do. Now, one of the things that we do also have to deal with is clients' emotions. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Like we said before, when a client gets into an accident or their family member's injured, it's a very emotional time for them. So, you know, our job is to manage the emotions as well as managing the case.
Right. I say to people, we're attorneys and counselors at law. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Correct.
And as counselors at law, it's interesting that sometimes I think that we're really having to really talk to people about what it is, but also kind of going through the process with them, right? The process of the emotional ups and downs, right?
Absolutely. And just the process in general can be a little scary to people that don't understand it or don't know what's going on. So that's why this program is a great opportunity for people to learn, you know, what's going on and how the case proceeds.
Well, you know, some of the things that I've dealt with over the years is that emotional aspect of it where the client calls you up and the client may have a very emotional situation, but the client really doesn't know anything, of course, about the law. And immediately the client believes, well, we can make a recovery just simply because something bad happened, right?
Yes.
And the reality is that that's not the case, right?
Absolutely, especially in medical malpractice cases, you know, it's a process to investigate the matter first. You know, we have to prove two things. We have to prove a departure from the standard of care, and we have to prove damages. And, you know, in those cases, we have to get medical records, we have to consult an expert, and most people don't realize how long of a process it actually is.
Well, one of the things that I've dealt with over time is with medical malpractice cases is the clients will call us up, and I know, Amanda, you're working on it, and we don't know really whether there is medical malpractice or not, right?
Correct.
Okay. Could you explain why sometimes it's different or how it's different in a medical malpractice case, assessing it versus, let's say, a car accident case where there might be a rear-end collision or someone crossed over and hit our client or turned in front of our client? How is that different?
So like I said, in a medical malpractice case, it's more of an investigation right off the bat. It's not just, oh, there's clear liability here and there's clear damages. In a medical malpractice case specifically, in New York, we're required to speak with an expert physician in that field and get clearance to bring a suit. And by, you know, we also look at the medical records, and that's why it takes us a little longer to assess.
Right. And so the client will call us up and we'll talk about potentially a very serious situation that occurred, and there might have been either a bad result, right? Bad damages.
Yes.
But immediately we don't know, hey, is there medical malpractice? Correct?
Correct. I mean, like I said, you know, it's our job to consult with physicians on this. You know, we're from the legal standpoint, we understand what's going on. But from the medical standpoint, you know, we need that expert to really tell us, was there a departure from the standard of care?
And the departure from the standard of care means failure to basically act with good and accepted medical practice, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And the standard of care is good and accepted medical practice, which simply means, folks, is we need to speak to an expert oftentimes so that they can tell us, hey, is this something that's within the standard of care or good and accepted medical practice? And if it is, then there's no liability. There's no negligence.
Exactly. I mean, oftentimes we get clients calling us, you know, the doctor wasn't friendly with me, this happened, that happened, and unfortunately, that's not enough. So, you know, it is important for us to speak to an expert and get that standard of care.
And then even if there is a departure, as we're examining it, we have to then show that there's also caused damages, right?
Correct.
And what does that mean?
So we have to show that the injury that you received is related to the departure from the standard of care by the physician or the nursing home or whatever facility that it may be.
And sometimes you could actually have a situation where there's a departure from good and accepted medical care, but there's no damages that resulted in it.
Correct. And that's a difficult emotional conversation to have with a client.
Right. So, but the conversation should take place earlier than later as you go through the process. And I think it's important to advise the clients as to what the law is, what we have to prove, what we have to show, and not to keep anything secret, because I believe that most people like to know things up front and have people that are honest with them. And I know that's the way we approach things.
Absolutely.
And I know there are cases where I've had clients say to me that, hey, well, this doctor did something wrong. And even after examining it, the answer is yes, the doctor did do something or the hospital did do something. But in some cases, there's no injury that resulted from them. And I've had clients tell me, but I could have died. And my response to that is, sadly, that's true that you could have, but we can only recover for things that actually happen, whether it's injury or death. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
And so we really like to evaluate these cases and do a really good job with it and really assess it. And we will always look at it very carefully. There are cases that sometimes another attorney might look at and say, well, there was no case. And we found after going over all the information, getting all the information, looking at your medical records, speaking to our doctors, that there actually was a significant case. And we want to just be there for you to make sure that we can provide that information. Now, Linda, with regard to handling non-medical malpractice cases, we have some difficulties also with those, sometimes kind of assessing whether or not injuries are related typically to the negligence. It's easier sometimes to see whether there's negligence or not from the beginning on a dog bite case maybe, or a trip and fall or a car accident. Not totally unnecessary to explore because we have to still explore it, but it's a little easier on the liability end. But the damages still oftentimes are an open question, right?
Correct, because we really like to look at what your prior medical history is to see whether there's some sort of aggravation or a new injury. And the only way we can really do that is by getting those records.
Well, that's really a good point, and it's really important for you to get to us sooner than later. We want to investigate it. Oftentimes, we could get to witnesses. We want to get to those witnesses before insurance companies or their attorneys go to those witnesses. And perhaps maybe that witness is asked a question not clearly. Our job is to get to the truth, and we want to get to the truth. We don't want to allow the truth to be skewed in any way, and we want to make sure that we get you compensated. With regard to the issue concerning the amount of damages we always say to our clients most of the time is we can't tell you what it's worth on day one. Amanda, correct?
Absolutely. People always ask, you know, well, what's my case going to be worth? And, you know, that's something that as attorneys is difficult to answer, but we also don't want to, you know, skew what could possibly be your damages.
And I think that's a fair point. There are some cases we get on day one. It doesn't look very serious. It turns out to be terribly serious.
Absolutely.
And there are other cases vice versa. And so our job here is to get to the truth, make sure that you're doing right by yourself, make sure that you're treating so you can get better, because we do want you to get better. But if for whatever reasons you have a serious injury, we're there to make sure that we get you justice. And we will fight for your justice, for justice, for you from beginning to end. And our best compliment from our clients, and most of the time we get many referrals from other clients, it's the best compliment you can get. You're on our program From No Fault of Your Own. We're exploring issues in personal injury. We will see you on the other side with Dr. Magdi Shadi. Hi, this is Attorney Ken Auerbach from the law offices of Cartier, Bernstein, Auerbach, and Steinberg. If you or someone you care for has been injured through no fault of their own, please contact my office by visiting www.myinjuryli.com. Be it auto-related accidents, construction, product liability, wrongful death, slip and fall, nursing home negligence, or medical malpractice, please contact us by visiting www.myinjuryli.com. For nearly three decades, our firm has successfully represented our clients. Through constant communication and support, our clients never feel left out of the loop. We care about their pain, their loss, and their dignity, and of course, their compensation. Please don't hesitate to contact our office to discuss your case by visiting www.myinjuryli.com or call 631-654-4900. That's www.myinjuryli.com or call 631-654-4900. Don't wait another day. Well, welcome back to our program From No Fault of Your Own. This is personal injury attorney Ken Auerbach. So glad to have you here. Really so fortunate today to have my two great associate attorneys, Amanda Spinner and Linda Boswell, on the show as we're talking about really real life and how a case process is literally from the beginning, from day one. And we will have them back on the show many times as we talk about different aspects of the case and different types of cases. You should know that it's important to get to us sooner than later. You know, in a motor vehicle accident, as an example, we want to know, did you report the accident to the police? You should always do that. As I've told you previously, to your insurance company, are you treating? What insurance coverage do you have? Have you spoken to the other insurance company? And again, do not do that. When it comes to anything to do with your injuries, they are not on your side. They are not looking to get you justice. Make sure if you think you are hurt, get on the phone, call an experienced personal injury attorney. We would love that for that to be us so we could help you and we could help you manage the process and get fair and complete justice and recovery. Now, on the show today, we are so privileged again to have Dr. Magdi Shadi on the show. Dr. Magdi Shadi is one of the preeminent, and I tell you, preeminent spine and brain surgeons, neurosurgeons, in Long Island, really in the state, and I would say the country. He's from Brain and Spine Surgery PC. He has been on our program before, but we just really scratched the surface of important issues involving people who suffer serious spine and brain injuries from traumas, from motor vehicle accidents, falls at construction sites, slip and trip and falls, and from many other scenarios. I've had the privilege of working with Dr. Shadi regarding people who have been seriously injured from all different types of trauma. Thank you, Dr. Shadi. Are you there?
Thank you, Ken. Yes, I am. It's nice to be with you and with your audience.
So good to have you here, Dr. Shadi. Dr. Shadi, how many days out of the week are you usually involved in actually doing surgery on people's spines and on their brains?
There are scheduled cases, which we book it through the office, usually three days a week, except because I see patients the other 2 days a week. And then there are when I am on call. And when I am on call, you deal with what comes through the emergency room or if there is an emergency inside the hospital. Like last weekend, for instance, I was up all night, Friday, Saturday, operating on somebody's brain that fell down and had a big blood clot in his brain.
Oh, my goodness. So they actually fell, had a blood clot in their brain. You were called in, doctor, by the hospital. Is that correct?
Correct. This is when I am on call, so I am available for emergencies. So if they have any emergency, they call me. And for us in neurosurgery, how are we different from other specialties? That unfortunately our patients do not give us a lot of time to save their life or prevent significant damage to the brain or the spinal cord.
Could you explain that a little bit? Why is that different from, let's say, if someone had a fractured arm?
We deal with the brain and with the spinal cord and with the nerves. The way we were created as human being, that these structures do not like to be pushed, do not like to be shoved, do not like to have pressure on them. They are very delicate. And that's why neurosurgery and brain surgery is a very delicate specialty, because these structures we work with are really delicate. So in other words, when I'm operating, I have to do what I have to do without disturbing these elements significantly, if you will. Because you could just touch part of the brain or part of the spinal cord and the patient would wake up with neurological deficit. It's not because I did something wrong, because these structures are very delicate and we have to be very careful when we handle that. So,
And doctor, if I can interrupt you, and with regard to the brain itself, the brain, if it doesn't have oxygen, in other words, if there's pressure on the brain from blood or fluid, or some type of, I say, theoretically, you can have a fracture to your skull, and it could be actually from a part of bone, right?
Correct.
If that's the case, one needs to relieve that, because once that tissue dies, it's dead for good, correct?
You cannot get it back.
Okay.
You know, this is why it's really, really delicate, and it's very difficult, because you have to move fast. You have very small window to save the structure. So you have to move, like I give an example. So they call me, I looked at the, now we can look at the CAT scan from home, which is very helpful. So I looked at the CAT scan, I knew what's there. There is a big blood clot on the top of the brain, and therefore I knew what I'm going to do. So now I'm getting dressed. I am on the phone with the operating room, with the nurses in the operating room, telling them what I am going to do, what I need, how soon I'm going to be there. So I am getting dressed, getting in my car, driving, and I am on the phone setting up the system that I just walk in and take the patient to the operating room to save time. And luckily, in this case, this is exactly what we did.
So what time, if you don't mind me asking, did you get this phone call in the evening?
I think it was like 10:30 at night, 11 o'clock at night.
So in your career, basically what happens with what you do is you're on call. That means you could have a night that kind of takes you throughout into the early morning hours. You can go to sleep and be woken up, and now you have to be on your game at that point, correct?
Obviously, I didn't sleep that night. And Saturday, I finished 5 o'clock. It was really intricate because, unfortunately, in this particular situation, the head trauma was so severe that there was blood surrounding the right side of the brain completely. So it's not just the blood clot was so big and squeezing the brain, literally pushing the brain to the opposite side, literally, like an inch to the opposite side.
Wow, that's unbelievable. And I know that when an assessment is made, they talk about midline shift, right, doctor?
Exactly. The midline shift was like almost an inch.
So that midline shift for our listeners is when one looks at the front of the brain, you can actually sort of see the middle of it. And then if, in fact, on the CAT scan, that middle now is shifted to the left or the right, that tells you got a big problem, correct?
Very much so. And it tells me that I don't have a lot of time to intervene. And, you know, that I'm already starting from behind because of the significant midline shift, and I have to move as fast as possible. So when I got in, basically there is blood everywhere. And now I have to remove this blood from everywhere, the front of the brain, the back of the brain, on top of the brain, the bottom of the brain, literally everywhere. And I have to remove this blood without touching the surface of the brain.
Wow, that's...
Then I have to find out the source of the bleeding. When we hit the brain hard, one of the blood vessels burst. And this is what bleeds, and this is what caused the blood clot. So I have to find the source and stop it. And this is basically what I did. And I was diligent. I took my time. And I managed to remove the whole clot. And I found the source of the bleeding. And I stopped it. And things went really well. And after surgery, we get a CAT scan to make sure I didn't miss anything or any part. And it looked really good. So I was happy that I removed the whole thing. And you see the shift now, instead of being almost an inch, is, you know, getting less and less and less, and now there is no shift anymore.
How is that person doing, if you don't mind me asking?
What we do with this situation, that because the pressure is high in the head, and sometimes the brain is started to react to the pressure a day or two later. So we keep those patients intubated and sedated because we don't want them to move. We don't want them to cough. We don't want them to struggle, because this will increase the pressure inside the head. And you worry about this with somebody that's already compromised.
So listen, I don't want to interrupt you because this is fascinating stuff again. We need to take a commercial break. But again, Dr. Shadi, you're bringing it again this week. You always bring it, and just fascinating. Just absolutely fascinating. You're on From No Fault of Your Own, our program, folks. We love that you're listening to us. We love that you come back, and we'll see you on the other side. Well, welcome back to our program, From No Fault of Your Own. We're exploring most important issues in personal injury caused by accidents. And we have on the show Dr. Magdi Shadi today, of course, so I have my two fine associates, Amanda Spinner and Linda Boswell, and we are exploring some very interesting issues and urgent issues, really, for people that are injured. You can call in. We are live if you want to get us, 631-451-1039. Or if you or someone you care about has been injured as a direct result of someone's negligence, please contact us at myinjuryli.com. Call 631-654-4900. We would be privileged to fight to get you justice. So, Dr. Shadi, you there? You there, Dr. Shadi?
I'm here, Ken.
Okay, it's great to have you with us today and taking the time in between your surgeries. So, you know, I was just on the break. I was talking to my associates, and one of the things that you raised is this critical requirement to get and intervene and remediate whatever the problem is when a person has a bleed to the brain, in particular, or some type of significant spinal injury. And we were talking about how important that is. Amanda, we have had several cases, but we have one case that I was thinking about that we were talking about where that wasn't done, right? One of our clients, unfortunately, was not given that kind of care. Is that correct?
Correct. Unfortunately, he did not get the emergency medical care that he needed. And unfortunately, he was transferred to another institution without receiving important and needed medical treatment.
And they hadn't stabilized him, as Dr. Shadi talks about. And again, folks, there are great doctors out there. We're not sitting here telling you there aren't great doctors in hospitals. But again, sometimes someone does not do what's right. And a hospital provider doesn't do what's right. And that's what they call negligence. And people who are subject to that sometimes have a really bad result. In this case, that gentleman actually wound up having a severe brain injury, and then ultimately what happened to him, Amanda?
Ultimately, unfortunately, he did pass away.
Right, and he was a young man, had two children, and it's a very, very sad situation. But it's really important, as you listen to Dr. Shadi here, that you do get that care And if you have any issues or any doubts that it's important, please remove those doubts. Okay, Dr. Shadi, so let's continue on now. You're talking about this one situation, which you really had to step in there, and thank God for you, and thank God there's people like you, Dr. Shadi, who have the willingness to go ahead and to really deal with people that are sometimes in their absolute worst spots. Have you had other hard cases, any other difficult cases that you could think of over the years, Dr. Shadi, where it was involving people that were involved in trauma?
Yeah, obviously. I remember, you know, in the previous discussions, I did my what we call neurotrauma fellowship in shock trauma, which was one of the best places in the country. So I'm very familiar with this, and we see that. We see that frequently. Like one of the sad stories that I remember to the day, a young kid, 16 years old, that kept asking his dad, "I want a motorcycle, I want a motorcycle." And then in his 16th birthday, a surprise that there is a motorcycle in front of the house. So the kid takes it for a spin and literally landed in a tree head on. And I see the kid in the emergency room, literally, that you know, imagine when you have somebody's head and you squeeze it in your hand.
Oh, God.
And you look at the brain coming out of the skull. The skull is like an eggshell. Like if you have an eggshell and you drop it on the floor, this is how the skull looked at that time. And there are two things we deal with. We deal with neurosurgery, and we are trained to deal with that. The difficult part that's really difficult is the emotional part. We're still human beings. Remember, we are surgeons, but we are human beings. We feel what our patients are going through and what their families are going through. And this is the difficult part, how to block your emotions completely and you make very objective decisions. And some of these decisions could be really, really difficult when you are talking to the family and say, "Listen, you know what? I don't know if your loved one will wake up. I know I probably can save his or her life, but I don't know what kind of person I'm going to give you after everything I do." And I still remember this case to that day. And you go in and you put things together and you take the pressure off and you save the kid's life. And then it becomes a very long road. Luckily, he was 16. Young people recover with head injury and spinal injury better than older people. And we tend to be more aggressive with young people, knowing that they can recover better than older people.
How did that young man do, Doc?
My last contact with him, when we sent him to head injury rehab, but I knew this is going to be a very, very long road. And I lost contact with them because some of the rehab places are out of state. You literally go elsewhere. And the good news is we saved his life.
Well, one of the things that I can say for sure, Doc, is I know people who have gone to see you, and you are a caring, compassionate doctor, and you give everything that you can to try to give that person the quality of life back that they had as best as you can. And it's really appreciated that you're telling us about this for a couple of reasons. First, sort of takes the mystery out of it, right? There are people that have loved ones that have had head injuries and don't really know what to do. And secondly, I think it's important too, you just made a point about riding a motorcycle and this young man didn't have a helmet on. And I would say, Doctor, if I had a bet, you would say there should be no one that rides a motorcycle without a helmet. Am I correct?
No question about it. That's not even a question. You know, if you're going to get on the motorcycle, even if you get on a bike, you need a helmet. And this is the difference between life and death. This is the difference between getting back on your feet after a bad injury or being comatose for the rest of your life. This is really, I am not exaggerating. Well, we see that every day.
Well, Doc, thanks so much for telling that us, and thank you for pointing out about the bicycles also, because so many times, you know, people can get lazy and not put the helmet on if you're on a bicycle, and bad stuff could happen, right? And I really appreciate it because, again, on this show, Doc, we're really concerned about, first of all, if we can keep someone healthy and from a terrible injury, that's wonderful. Again, I don't want to be representing people with terrible life catastrophic problems if it can be avoided. If for some reason they have a terrible injury, again, it's my privilege and honor to get involved in it. But again, our hope here, folks, is we can reduce the amount of times that people have to go see a Dr. Shoddy. Now, Linda, I was just thinking about it. We had a case, right, where a woman had a trip and fall like Dr. Shoddy was talking about and a very significant brain injury. Is that correct? I know we only have a couple of minutes.
Sure, absolutely. She was out actually walking her dog at night. And walking the dog at night, sometimes if you don't have a flashlight with you, you can take a tumble. And thankfully, her husband saw that she wasn't coming in right away. And when she tripped and fell and landed in the street down a hill, she actually got immediately to the hospital. And thankfully, she got medical attention as soon as possible because her husband was aware of where she was.
Right, and they actually did surgery on her to do a craniotomy to relieve the bleeding, Doc, in that case. And thank God she did okay. But it certainly was a very hard road, and Linda did an amazing job. I'm going to talk about that on another show, about actually investigating it right away. And without Linda, I don't believe we would have been able to prove that case and get a very, very significant recovery for that person. Well, Dr. Shoddy, again, it's just been amazing having you on the show here. Please, if you have any issue, any loved one that is in need of Dr. Shoddy's services as a brain surgeon or a spine surgeon, go there, okay? I can say that without reservation. It's Brain and Spine Surgery PC. Give him a call at 631-751-2700. You will not be sorry. I can tell you that. We will see you next week on From No Fault of Your Own. Thanks again for listening.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.